Chapter 11. Mind, Body, and the Role of Fear. Scientists have made two grave mistakes in their centuries-long quest to understand the human mind. Once we see through these mistakes, a more realistic concept of the mind can emerge. It's important to understand the mind, what it is and how it works, because the mind has a large role to play in the experience of contagion. In other words, if we don't explore the nature of the mind and come to a realistic understanding of how the mind operates, we will fail to understand the concept of contagion in general and the experience of COVID in particular. This is because fear, hatred, and lies are key components of the phenomena we call sickness. These negative emotions and behaviors seem to be contagious, and they are present in the world at almost unprecedented levels at this time. It's time to integrate the concept of the mind into a realistic framework for health and disease. The first mistake concerning the mind that scientists and researchers have made in past centuries is the assumption that physical matter is the only thing that exists. If this is the underlying assumption, then it is only natural to look for a physical site in which this mind resides and then attempt to understand how the anatomy, chemistry, or physiology of this organ's cells create the mind. Scientists have localized the seat of the mind in the brain. They postulate that the brain is made of physical matter, chemicals and atoms, and therefore these brain cells must somehow secrete the mind. The mind must be a physical, biochemical product of the brain, much as thyroid hormone is a physical secretion of the thyroid gland. But try as they will, they just can't come up with the chemical or group of chemicals that constitutes this mind secreted by the brain. As always, we are told it is just a matter of time, and of course, more funding, for scientists to solve this puzzle. This matter, called the brain, is either 99.99% empty space, if it exists as a particle, or just wave energy, if it exists as a wave. To complicate matters, these same scientists tell us that what determines whether the stuff that makes up our brains is in the particle or wave form is how the mind of the scientist is observing the stuff. In other words, this mind, which can't be found, actually determines the form of the organ that is supposedly creating the mind. Thus, the scientists are caught in a Gordian knot. Like a rat trapped in an infinite maze, there is no escape from this central dilemma. The result is that scientists try to understand more and more of the conundrum's details, while never getting to the core of the issue. This is the central paradox of materialistic science and its offshoot, materialistic medicine. Most neuroscientists attempt to find the source of the mind within the organ they postulate as creating the mind, our brain. This is akin to attempting to localize the source of the sound emanating from a radio by dissecting the radio into its component parts. Although a radio is needed to receive and play sounds, no one could possibly think the sound originates in the radio. The radio is a receiver, and the more in tune it is to the various waves and frequencies in the world, the better it can function as a receiver. A perfect radio would theoretically be able to pick up any radio wave signals anywhere, if it were powerful enough and tuned enough. Different sizes and types of radios have different abilities to pick up the various signals. No one claims that because one radio is small and old and picks up only local, strong signals that the other signals don't exist. It's clearly all about the power and clarity of the radio one is using. So it is with the connection between the brain, as the presumptive site, and mind. The brain is a receiver, it works in conjunction with the entire organism in a complex dance we call life. The body brings nourishment to the brain, it removes waste products from the brain, it connects the brain to the senses and to the fingers so they can touch objects and provide the brain with the information it needs in order to work. There is no body-mind duality, that is a superstition of materialistic scientists. There is a human being, divided up into various water compartments, each working together to create this experience we call life. The input to this experience, as in a radio, comes from the world, actually the universe, as a whole. Our bodies, with their respective minds, are the receivers for this input in the form of electromagnetic waves. And, since we now know that every substance is also its own form of wave, there is a natural resonance created when the energy of the world meets the organized water crystal known as the human being. The result of this resonance is output, otherwise known as thoughts, feelings, and actions. The mind is simply a made-up concept for this dance of life, input from the world, received in the form of resonance by our organism, leading to the creation of output in the form of thoughts, feelings, and actions. The second mistake is failing to understand the role that water, in its crystalline nature, plays in this resonance phenomena. One important clue that water is the crucial element in the creation of this mind we call the human organism is that the organ that serves as the primary receiver of thought waves, the brain, is also the organ with the highest water content. It is 80% water by volume, about 10% higher than other organs. Not only is the brain the organ that has the highest amount of crystalline water, it even floats in organized, structured cerebrospinal fluid, CSF, thereby achieving the remarkable feat of overcoming gravity. Without this salty CSF bath, the brain would feel too heavy to carry around. The brain would push against the skull, thereby cutting off its own circulation. Life is a manifestation of the force of levity. Plants grow up, sap rises in trees, and animals stand and walk. In contrast, mineral substances succumb to gravity. Life would be impossible if gravity ruled in the human being. Fortunately, the brain floats upward in its pool of salty, crystalline fluid. Levity, like a plant growing up toward the sun, is the basic expression of living beings. This organized water known as the brain, floating in its bath of crystalline fluid, serves as a perfectly tuned receiver for the thoughts of the world. This is an exact description given by the most sophisticated scientists, inventors, musicians, artists, writers, and poets. Universally, they describe the experience of working on themselves in one way or another, thinking, practicing, studying, and then one day, the inspiration or thought simply comes to them to become Newton's theories, Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, or Isaac Singer's sewing machine. We have all had the experience of receiving a thought and knowing it is right, or having pondered a question for many years and suddenly receiving the answer. Somewhere, somehow, thoughts, all these various waveforms, exist. It's just a matter of tuning our watery brains to pick them up clearly. This brings us to COVID and the experience of fear. Whether by design or by accident, humanity is currently bathed in the waveforms of fear, hatred, and lies. No sensible person could possibly deny this. People don't know whom to believe, which news report is accurate, which scientists or government officials are lying or which are telling the truth. We have been told to fear and suspect each other as carriers of deadly germs. Any and all differences between us, even things as superficial as the color of a person's skin, are grounds for even more fear, suspicion, and hatred. It is not hyperbole to claim that every single person on Earth is now bathed in this sea of fear, hatred, and lies. This is what is picked up by all living organisms as the predominant waveforms in the world. Naturally, these waveforms create physiological responses in our bodies, such as activation of our inflammatory systems, as we attempt to rid ourselves of these destructive thought patterns. Our cortisol production increases, adrenaline soars, blood flow constricts, and pupils dilate as we prepare to escape this danger. We have been poisoned, drowned in this toxic brew, deep into our watery structures. We also know that exposing organisms to fear stimulates the creation of exosomes to detoxify this fear. Scientists have mistakenly labeled these tiny bodies, viruses, poisons. They are not pathogenic viruses, they are the natural human response to fear, lies, hatred, and other toxins. Exosomes are nature's way of letting us know that unless we rid ourselves of these toxic thoughts, healthy life is not possible. Masks, social distancing, closing businesses, violence, and racial intolerance are just some of the forms of fear-inducing strategies to which humans are subjected. Human beings need love, trust, and acceptance to grow and thrive. These waveforms are out there as well. Our challenge is to learn how to tune into these good emotions rather than the things that bring illness and death.